This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number to get you on in. That's 855-212-4227. Could always interact with me on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. Got Connor Green along the other way. And we have a jam-packed show today. Not one, not two, but three awesome guests for you before we do say goodbye at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Coming up at the top of the hour, Saints fans, get ready. We'll chat a little New Orleans Saints. We'll do so with the man that sacked Tom Brady on Sunday in the Saints' big opening game victory. Trey Hendrickson's going to stop by. Then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, a little excitement in college football. We already know the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12 is having a season. Now the Big 10 is getting back into the fold in late October. So we chat to CBS Sports insider for college football, Barrett Salee, coming up at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. And then finally, in the last hour of the show, at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, we're going to chat a little Denver Nuggets. How about that surprise last night? Denver completes the 3-1 comeback once again. This time, down goes the Los Angeles Clippers. So former NBA player is a part of the Nuggets broadcast team. Scott Hastings going to join us at 9:20 p.m. Eastern. A whole lot to do, and as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. All right, let's start off with the surprise from last night. This Denver team, before we hammer the Clippers, can we give a little credit to Denver first? That's what we'll do. Because Denver was down 3-1 to the Jazz. We all thought they were done. They come on back. They win game 7. Denver was down 3-1 to the Clippers. And I remember Doc Rivers was getting asked about the Western Conference Finals. And he said, guys, we still have one more game to win. One more game to get in the victory column before we advance to the organization's first ever Western Conference Finals. And I remember when I heard that from Doc Rivers, I laughed and I said, coach, come on. I know you got to speak like a coach. I know you got to keep your team focused. You're going to win one more game. You're the Los Angeles Clippers. You got Kawhi Leonard. You got Paul George. You got Lou Williams. You got Montrezl Harrell. You got Patrick Beverley. You got a team that all throughout the year, we thought they were at least going to the Western Conference Finals. You're up 3-1. There's no way you're going to blow the lead. And I'll be the first one to say, Isaac Gelb was wrong. Because you saw the Clippers absolutely choke this series away. Now, give Denver credit. Murray was awesome. Jokic was awesome. This is a fun, up-and-coming Denver Nuggets team that has taken an enormous step. And I mean an enormous step this year. And we've seen Michael Porter Jr., even though he hasn't played great the last three games, Michael Porter Jr. give you some valuable minutes inside the bubble. So obviously, when it starts with the Nuggets, it's Nikola Jokic, who is an all-around great player. You look at what he was able to do last night. He didn't even go off in terms of scoring points. He had 16 points in the game, but he adds in 22 rebounds, and his passing, it is just ridiculous. 13 assists in the game last night, and Murray does what Murray does. He's a scorer, and he is someone that is so fun to watch and such a likable person, and he had 40 points last night. So a lot of credit to Denver. That's a fun team. That's a good team. That's a team that took an extra step before they were expected to. And you know what? To be fair, before they did go on this playoff run, I don't know how many people were thinking they were very close. Even if they were, even being a three seed this year in the Western Conference, we didn't think they had a legitimate shot to go to the finals. And now you're four wins away from doing so. And we'll talk a little Lakers and Nuggets later on in the show. Right now, early feel, I like the Lakers. I like the Lakers in six. But I'll tell you this, until that Nuggets team is eliminated and until they are going home and they are leaving Orlando, they're leaving the bubble, I'm not going to sit here like I did in the Jazz series or in the Clippers series and tell you, yeah, they don't got a shot to win it once they were down 3-1. And I like them to defeat the Jazz, but when they did go down 3-1, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see this comeback coming. So give credit to Denver. They're off to the Western Conference Finals. They'll go up against LeBron, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers, and it should be a fun series. And we did see last night, Eastern Conference Finals Game 1, where the Celtics choked a 12-point fourth-quarter lead. Jimmy Butler, big three late. Game goes into overtime. Jimmy Butler, big three-point play. And then you see one of the greatest blocks that I've ever seen. I said it yesterday. When I think of big blocks in a big moment, LeBron's block up against Andre Iguodala, that's one that definitely comes to mind. Mike Breen screaming, oh, block by James! And then also the Tayshaun Prince block where it was the Pistons up against the Indiana Pacers going up against Reggie Miller. That block, though, I watched that thing last night probably like 200 times. I know it was a little hyperbole there, but I kept on watching that block last night because my jaw was dropping and I could not believe it. I was in awe. Jason Tatum, when he rises up, it looks like it's going to be a thunderous slam. And we were live on the air last night when it happened, and I could not believe what I just saw. As Bam gets that hand in there right at the rim last second, and rejects Jason Tatum, which would have tied the game. So you see the Heat go up 1-0. Celtics can't close out. Very similar to some of those games where the Raptors did get a few victories up against the Celtics. Celtics crumbled in the fourth. And then in overtime, they had some opportunities, couldn't get the job done. I still think the Celtics win that series. And I do like the Lakers to win the Western Conference Finals. But we'll get back to that later on in the show because, hey, even though I was nice out of the chute and we talk about Denver, I got to get to the Clippers because that's the bigger storyline. The Clippers choked. There's no other way around it. I know some coaches. I know some people inside the NBA. Anytime I say a team chokes, I at least get a direct message or two. How about you talk about the way that the other team won the series more so than just saying the Clippers choked? There's no other way around it. You had a lead in game five, you had a lead in game six, big leads, and you couldn't close the door shut. And then in game seven, it was embarrassing that you didn't even show up in the second half. How don't you, with the depth of that team, and I don't want to hear about conditioning, I don't want to hear about the bubble, I don't want to hear about the time off. We've all had games back. You had the eight games. You played one postseason series before it, where you got tested a little bit by the Dallas Mavericks. How did the Los Angeles Clippers in the second half last night only score 18 points in the third and then back it up with only 15 points in the fourth? And for a while, in the majority of the fourth, I was sitting there looking at the stat sheet saying, they only have 8 points? I only had 8 points for a long stretch in the fourth quarter. There's one thing to get beat. There's also another thing when you face a little adversity to run from it and just shut down. And last night in a game seven with everything on the line, that Los Angeles Clippers team had no heart, had no guts, and they had no fight. And I know everyone last year was ready to say, Kawhi Leonard, best player in the league. And I'm not taking anything away from Kawhi in his career. Two-time finals MVP, was great up against the Heat, was great up against the Warriors. You know, in that playoff run, that shot last year up against the Sixers, I still don't know how it did go in, but he has been a great postseason player. In the big moment last night, though, he crumbled. And that's the first time in his career where it's an actual true pressure situation where he is the guy and he is expected to win a championship, and he came up small. Wasn't the guy with the Spurs, was the guy with Toronto, but you didn't have title expectations. This game last night was the first time in his career where he was the guy and also had title expectations and was expected to win the championship. And in a game 7, he goes 6-22 from the field and only scores 14 points. And Paul George, 4-16, he hits the backboard, you know, the side of a backboard on a shot, and only gives you 10 points. 10 points for Playoff P, which we got some audio for you later on in the show. Playoff P should shut up. Oh my goodness gracious. I could not believe last night the words that came out of his mouth, where he's telling us internally this group didn't think this was championship or bust. Are you kidding me? Come again, Paul George? You don't think this was a championship or bust team? How is this not championship or bust? All throughout the year, 3 teams people said had a chance to win the title. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. We know the Bucks are home. Championship or bust, they didn't rise up to the occasion. They owned it after they lost. The Clippers, they don't rise up to the occasion. And last night, Paul George, when Kawhi Leonard knows that's not true, when Doc Rivers knows that's not true, and everyone in that organization knows it's not true, you're going to have the stones to tell me that this wasn't a championship or bust season for the Los Angeles Clippers? That's garbage. That is absolute garbage from Paul George. Take your loss, don't give me excuses, and own it. So that's a brutal job. And I mean a brutal job by Paul George. And then, you know what? I told you last night, and I thought the Clippers would win. I thought the Clippers were going to go to the Western Conference Finals, but I told you, if they lost, the two biggest talking points, sure, we talk about Paul George, but the two biggest talking points nationally would be Kawhi Leonard and then Doc Rivers. And now for Doc, who I like, good person, good coach, you can question if he's a great coach, because this is the third time in his career he's blown a 3-1 lead. And your team is more talented than the Nuggets, and you choked two enormous leads in game 5 and 6, and your team didn't show up in the second half. That's a brutal coaching performance by Doc Rivers. And I know some people are going to call for Doc Rivers to lose his job. I don't think Doc is losing his job. Not this year. I think he'll be back next year. With that being said, though, just like it was championship or bust this year, it's even more so next year, championship or bust. Because I don't know what the long-term future of the Clippers are. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, after next season, both have an opt-out. So I think that factors in. As long as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard still want Doc back, I think Doc will be back. I really do believe that. Because are you going to change coaches? You could. Remember, LeBron got David Blatt fired. Ty Lue came in. They won a championship. So you could do that. With those guys, free agency upcoming, and they have an opt-out after the end of next year, when you have a good coach, are you going to fire him? Probably not. I just still can't believe that the Los Angeles Clippers blew game 5 and 6, and then in game 7, they scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. That is as bad as it gets. That is as brutal of a series that you will see, and it's an absolute choke job by the Los Angeles Clippers. It is so disgraceful. And it just shows you with the NBA, I know that they say anything could happen, anything is possible. It really is this year. Because I was believing into everything right before the restart that it would be the Bucks in the East going up against the Clippers or the Lakers. Bucks aren't there. It'll either be the Heat or the Celtics. And then in the West, forget the Clippers. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis up against Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that when we started this bubble that you would have a conference finals of Heat, Celtics, Nuggets, and Lakers? That's where we are, though, right now. Terrible, terrible, terrible performance by the Los Angeles Clippers. And let me make this abundantly clear if you can't tell already. Year one for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in Los Angeles was an absolute failure. You lose in the Western Conference Finals to LeBron James, not a failure. You lose in the NBA Finals, not a failure. Sure, it's championship or bust, so you could equate it to some level of failing, but it's not overwhelmingly failing. And in not getting to the Western Conference Finals for the Clippers, that is as bad of a performance and as bad as an outcome as you could have seen this year. Brutal, brutal, brutal. That's all I could say. We'll take your phone calls when we return. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. When we come on back, we will revisit the Paul George trade. And then also, Kawhi Leonard. You think he regrets going to Los Angeles? Should he have stayed in Toronto? We revisit that as well, 16 after the hour, as we continue to bash the Clippers right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
The resilient Nuggets, they do it again. Down 3-1 to the Jazz, no problem. Down 3-1 to the Clippers, no problem as well. Nuggets advance to the Western Conference Finals, where they have a date with the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday night. That's when that series does begin. And then we get to the Clippers side of it. Choke, choke, choke. Paul George, disgraceful. Doc Rivers, disgraceful. Kawhi Leonard, disgraceful. You got my opinions on it. Let's hear from you. 855-212-4CBS, always on Twitter as well, at Zach Gelb. Rick in Philly, he starts things off on this beautiful Wednesday on CBS Sports Radio. What do you got for us, Rick?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Doing great. What you got for us? Go ahead.
To me, Doc Rivers, it needs to go. There's no way you can justify keeping him. He's been an average coach. He's been living on that championship back from that loaded Boston team, and he's no better than Mike McCartney. He's been there, like you mentioned. He's blown a couple 3-1 leads. You brought in these Paul George. You gave up all your first-round picks. You have no assets. Now you got Harrell, who's a free agent, Lou Williams, Everly. You're maxed out, so you can't really make any more moves. And so that relies on the coach. Obviously, all year you've been hearing the excuses, load management, we need to rest these guys. It's all about the title. And you come up short. He's no better than the previous guy they fired, Del Negro. You just mentioned the guy. Ty Lue's on that Clippers staff. So if I'm Ballmer, who's one of the richest guys in the world, it really wouldn't make a difference. I fire him. It's inexcusable. He may be a good guy, but it's a result-oriented business. And you failed miserably. So it was title or bust. And then for Paul George to say afterwards in the postgame that we didn't think we were a title team this year. So
it
tells you everything you need to know about that team.
You're exactly right, Rick. Here's the thing, though. I don't think Doc Rivers is going to get fired. He could. I'd be surprised if he does. I think he has one more year. Remember, Kawhi could opt out at the end of next season. So can Paul George as well. I think that factors into the decision. And the only way I think Doc Rivers gets fired in this offseason is if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George don't want him there. I don't see anything with Kawhi that says there's a disconnect or him not liking Doc Rivers. Paul George, when the whole organization is saying it's championship or bust and the goal is to win the finals, and then Paul George says, well, it wasn't championship or bust this year, maybe there is a disconnect then more than we think between Doc Rivers and Paul George. Let's go to Mark in L.A. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Zach? I called in the other day about the Giant game. What a terrible game, huh?
Giant Steelers, man. Yeah, listen, it wasn't good. But here's the thing, Mark. To be fair, what did you expect? You guys weren't going to win that game. Barkley was terrible.
Dude, we marched down the field 19 plays, and he gets hit and gets intercepted at the one. That's right after I got off the phone with you. But that was absolutely crazy, but I'm a diehard fan. I'm not a Laker fan. I'm a Knicks fan, Zach, which is terrible. But
God bless you. My condolences.
Yeah, I know. But if we figured that it would be Denver and L.A., everyone thought the Clippers would mop the floor with Denver. I did, personally. I thought it was going to be Lakers-Clippers in the conference finals. So everybody thought. So now you sit Denver and L.A. In my opinion, I think Jokic and Murray obviously have been the best duo in the postseason. But now you're going up against AD and LeBron. Everyone's saying on Twitter that, you know, Denver has a lot more scoring than L.A., that Caruso and Rondo can't get it done. In my opinion, I think Lakers mopped the floor with Denver. I really do. I think they showed it with Houston going small. If you put Davis at the five, you get Jokic in foul trouble, they're essentially done. You know, Jokic can't play D. Lakers are giving up a lot of possessions too, but I just ultimately feel it's going to be L.A. And if you look at the East and you look at Boston and Miami, Lakers could easily beat both those teams. So it's kind of fortunate for LA.
Oh, Mark, let me make this abundantly clear. LeBron has to win the championship now. I thought before the NBA did restart that if in a league that is dynamic duos, I was putting my money on the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis, even though they don't have a more complete team compared to the Bucks and compared to the Clippers. Those are the only three teams that I factored could win the championship. Now, LeBron got the biggest gift handed to him on a silver plate because you don't have to play the Clippers. I don't want to be disrespectful to Denver. I think they could win two games. I think the Lakers win that series in six games. But regardless of who they play, you'll be the favorite up against the Heat, and you'll be the favorite up against the Celtics. No excuses. When you have LeBron, when you have Anthony Davis, and you don't have the Bucks or Clippers in front of you, you have to win the championship now.
I mean, Boston is definitely intriguing because of all the – imagine they make it to the finals. You have Boston versus L.A., all the firepower they get. You get Gordon Hayward back. Now you got a team now with, obviously, Boston. But like I said, and like you said, L.A. was basically just gifted this championship, in my opinion.
Now you have to get the job done. You got to get the job done because all year long we thought it was going to be Lakers and Clippers, and it wasn't. And in the NFL – all year long this year, we'll think the AFC Championship game is going to be Kansas City and Baltimore. And if it's not, and there's always a possibility, then those teams have to face the music. And a team like the Bucks, we've already hammered them. A team like the Clippers, they're getting their beating today. Now, Paul George may not want that beating. He may try to tell you, oh, yeah, it's not championship or bust. That's a bunch of BS. That's a load of crap. No one believes that. You can't tell me that all throughout the year it was championship, 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 and then afterwards, oh, yeah, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. We just lost the series. It's not only that you lost the series. You guys had no heart. You couldn't close a game to save your life. And then when you got faced with a little adversity in Game 7, you ran, you hid, and you could not produce. Oh, that is as bad as it gets for the Clippers. See, that's one of the all-time terrible performances in a Game 7 when you are the favorite and you score 18 and 15 in the final two quarters. Jerry in New Jersey, next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Jerry, what do you got for me today?
Hey, what's up, Zach? How you doing? It's Jersey Jerry.
Thanks, Jersey Jerry. What's happened? I love New Jersey. My grandparents live there. My dad's from there. I used to work there. My first job in radio was New Jersey. What part of Jersey are you calling from?
Hey, I'm from North Jersey. I'm a blue-collar union guy here.
Gotcha. So you go to Rutt's Hut? I'm sure you got a ripper from Rutt's
of
Hut in your life.
Of course. I put down dogs like crazy over there.
Yeah, give me a little chili, too, and a Frenchie, and about 2-3 rippers. I'm good to go. What do you got for me, Jersey Jerry?
There you go. Hey, Zach, listen to this. Real quick, before I get to my point, you ever go to a steakhouse, Zach, right?
Do you see the size of me? Of course I go to steakhouses.
Okay, you've been to a steakhouse then. So this happened to me last week. I went to a steakhouse. I ordered a ribeye, medium rare, right?
Mm.
The mashed potatoes were excellent.
Mm.
The asparagus was to die for.
You get a little lobster mac and cheese, Jersey Jerry?
No lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, come on.
But I went to take a bite of my steak, and there was no seasoning on it.
Ooh.
It was missing something. Now I got something for you. I know what the Boston Celtics are missing right here. They're missing Gordon Hayward big time. I mean, huge. They are missing this guy. And I'm going to give you a few stats really quick, and then you can let me go. Gordon Hayward, right? He's second on the Celtics in three-point percentage. He's second on the team in field goal percentage. Third on the team in minutes. I mean, you're talking about a guy here that does the little work. He's a grinder, dies for the loose balls. I mean, this guy's a top 10 player here you're talking about in Gordon Hayward now.
Now,
I mean,
Jersey Jerry, he's not a top 10 player. He's been injured over the years. He's a good player. Here's the reason, and thanks for the phone call, Jersey Jerry. You call me anytime you want to talk some grub. I'm all ears. But here's why they are missing Gordon Hayward, but it's not the reason why they're losing. They just had a problem closing games. They've been getting leads. They've been playing well. Up against Toronto, it was bad. You know, they got that crazy pass happen, Lowry over Taco Fall to OG Anunoby. They just have not been able to finish. And a few years ago, they lost Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. And what do? They still got to an Eastern Conference Finals. They took LeBron to a seventh game. They got to finish. It's that simple. Now, we'll see what happens when Gordon Hayward comes back. It's not a bad point. Yeah, you're going to get better with Gordon Hayward. I can't sit here, though, right now and say that's the reason they lost last night. The reason they lost last night, they couldn't close the game. They blew a 12-point lead, and that's been a problem for these Celtics. And Bam Adebayo made a heck of a play against Jason Tatum on the dunk. You gotta close games. And I love Brad Stevens, love what he did at Butler, love what he's done so far in the NBA. Late in the game, you got to get your team ready to go. And you got to get your team to step up and close out the game. Because you should be up 1-0 right now. You also shouldn't have gone to a seventh game against the Toronto Raptors. In the final minutes, though, this is a team that they've had struggle closing. Now, they've been able to survive those struggles, but they're putting a little extra work in, a little extra games in than what it needs to be. And Jimmy Butler is just a straight-up dog, man. That dude is unbelievable. That's a dude I would rock with. That's a dude that I would want on my team. And if you're the Sixers, whew, you had him in the building. You had him in the building. And you couldn't appease Jimmy Butler to stay. We'll take a timeout. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we got to talk. Paul George, that trade. We'll review that. And also, Kawhi Leonard. He left the Toronto Raptors. Was that the right decision? What happened if he stayed in Toronto and didn't go out to the Clippers out in L.A.? We'll discuss that when we return. First up, though, let's get an update on all things in the world of sports, and we do so with Rich Ackerman.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
We continue to talk about the Clippers. Choke job. Man, that is brutal. I keep on saying that. That's the word of the day today. Brutal. You're up 3-1. You got Paul George. You got Kawhi Leonard. You have the more deeper team. You got a team all year long. Championship. At least get into the Western Conference Finals. You get that big date that everyone was looking forward to. Little Lakers and Clippers. And you had multiple chances to advance. And you could never slam the door shut. And you open up that door for the Nuggets in Game 5. They took advantage. You open up the door in Game 6. They took advantage. And then in Game 7, the Nuggets delivered the knockout blow to the Los Angeles Clippers. And not only did they deliver the knockout blow, they dragged your body around the ring before delivering the knockout blow. Where was the heart from the Clippers? I'm still mystified. It is still an enigma to me how you could not score more than 15 points in the fourth quarter and more than 18 points in the third. You know, it's one thing to have a bad quarter. You think you bounce back. And the minute when this got to an 8-10-point game, which is not a lead that you can't come back from. It's not an insurmountable lead. That team and the Clippers, with the way that you were watching the game, it was done. It was finished. You know, I had two TVs on last night in my apartment. One screen, I was watching the Islanders in Tampa Bay, as that was a heck of a game where Tampa, it's a typical hockey game, where Tampa, it's shot, 1-1, not a lot of scoring. In double overtime, Tampa's had like 1,000 chances, and then boom, the Islanders just get a good rush, nice pass, game winner. So that was the one game I was watching. And the other game I was watching was this game 7. And with about 8:30 to go, I went on Twitter, and you just go on Twitter, and if I wasn't watching the game, you would have thought the game was in the final minute, because every single person was declaring that game over. That is how obvious it was that the Clippers had zero fight in them. And let's be real, they didn't want to win the game. If you want to win the game, and hey, you could lose a game and still want to win the game, but if you wanted to win the game, you would have at least showed up. You would have at least had a pulse. The moment got to them. And it's stunning to see, especially how many times in the big moment, Kawhi Leonard steps up. And Paul George, he couldn't even shoot the basketball late. See, I was able to relate to Paul George last night. I got a decent low post game, could make a few free throws, can hit the occasional jumper. You give me a corner three, though, I don't know where the basketball's going. And Paul George hit the side of the backboard. He could try that 3,000 times and probably only do it one time. He did it one time last night. Clippers. PU. You know, I look in the last 20, 25 years of sports. Two choke jobs stand out to me. Yankees up 3-0 against the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS. Red Sox come back, win their first World Series in that 2004 season. And you look at 28-3, Pats coming back from the Atlanta Falcons down 28-3 in Houston. Those are two notable. And I mean, like, right away, when you see that Coke shirt where it says Choke, the official soft drink of the New York Yankees and the Atlanta Falcons. Those are the two moments I really think of. Now, this one historically is not going to be brought up with the Falcons, and it's not going to be brought up with the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox, but this was an absolute choke job. There's no other way around it. I know it's the second round of the playoffs, but you're up 3-1, game 5 and 6, you flopped, and then in game 7, you didn't even punch back. All you had to do was win one game with the better roster, with the better team. You have Kawhi Leonard. Not too many have more experience than him. And you couldn't deliver. Whew. Bad, bad, bad. And you look at the Clippers and what they gave up. The Clippers, just to acquire Paul George, here's what they gave up. They traded away Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a good player. Traded away Danilo Gallinari. You look at the future capital, though. First round draft picks in 2022, 2024, 2026, along with two first round choices from Miami, 2021, 2023, and then OKC obtained the rights to swap first round picks in 2023 and 2025. That was the deal that the Clippers made. If I'm a Clippers fan, for all like 7 of you, here would be the biggest concern I have today. Is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard going to stay long-term? Because if they stay long-term, and remember, they're under contract for another year, then they could opt out. If they stay long-term, you're going to be in the conversation. You'll be, as long as they stay healthy, you'll be back right in the title conversation next year and for the foreseeable future, even though last night was so disappointing and so disgraceful. Imagine if one of them leaves. What happens if Kawhi leaves? Then you're Indiana. You're Indiana with just Paul George there. And if Paul George leaves, who do you bring in? Who do you bring in to complement Kawhi Leonard? So that's a big time concern. I would think they would stay together. You never know, though, with how things move so quickly in the NBA. Because it wasn't that long ago, Paul George was at that Russell Westbrook party. Oh, I'm staying in OKC. And then the next year, oh, who's this on the phone? Oh, it's Paul George. Oh, Paul. Or it's Kawhi Leonard. Oh, Kawhi. Paul here. You want me to come play with you? You want playoff P with you in Los Angeles? Look how quickly that changed. And right now, this is a league, duos. That's what it is. Heat, Jimmy and Bam. Celtics. You go Tatum, and then I guess Kemba. You look at the Nets. Next year, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Bucks, Giannis and Middleton. Out in the West, Jazz. You got Mitchell and Gobert. Lakers, LeBron and Anthony Davis. Clippers, Kawhi and Paul George. Nuggets, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. You go up and down all the teams that are good. Portland, Dame and CJ. You go through all those teams that are good teams. Now, even the Rockets, even though they don't have a shot to ever win a championship, they got Harden and Russ. It's all dynamic duos, and that's something I'm fascinated to see with the future of the NBA. Will we get back to a big three? Will someone disrupt the duos? Could that be Giannis next year? And, you know, in the next offseason, could that be a Kawhi? Could that be a Paul George if they elect to leave the Clippers and go somewhere else? And if that's the case, guess where the Clippers go? You go from Steve Ballmer bringing you out on the stage, going nuts with Kawhi and Paul George. Let's get excited. All right, we got Clippers basketball. Let's go. To then going back to being irrelevant. So next year, you better win. Because if you leave that door open for a Kawhi or Paul George to no longer be there, the state of your franchise is going to get really ugly. And if you're one of those seven Clippers fans, you're used to that state of the franchise being really ugly. And another thing, I wonder what's going on through Kawhi Leonard's mind right now. Is he laughing at his decision looking back to go to the Clippers? Is he pulling one of those aha, aha, aha type of moments for Kawhi Leonard? Because if I'm Kawhi, I'd wake up today saying, last year at this time, I won a championship. I was a finals MVP for the second time. People were saying I was better than LeBron James. And isn't that funny how we go through those cycles? Kevin Durant wins a few championships. Oh, he's better than LeBron. Kawhi Leonard wins a few championships. Oh, he's better than LeBron. And you fast forward a few years later. KD hurt. Kawhi, 6 of 22 from the field up against the Nuggets. And what's LeBron doing? He's on a new team, and he's on a team that is expected to win the championship. So I know a lot of times in the moment, you know, we give hot takes and you love listening for hot takes, but a lot of times in the moment, we go, oh yeah, let's move someone past LeBron James. Don't move anyone past LeBron James until the guy leaves the sport. All right? And even Giannis. Oh, Giannis, best player in the league, and I think Giannis is going to win the MVP this year. Is Giannis the best player in the league? Where's Giannis? Home. Where's LeBron? Getting ready for Western Conference Finals, game number one on Friday night. So that's something to think about, but when we look at Kawhi, is there regret? Is there regret going to the Clippers where now you're going to get criticism like you've never seen before? You were with the team with the Raptors where no one thought you were going to win the championship and you won the championship. You left that team. What did that team do this year? They had the second best record in the entire league. Can you imagine if you stayed in the East and you had Kawhi on the Raptors this year? Look what they did without him. You put Kawhi back on the Raptors for this season, they go to another NBA Finals. I'm not saying they definitely win it, but you go back to the Finals. And now, You're sitting at home, and in the first big pressure moment of your career where you're the guy and you're expected to win, you come up short. Kawhi Leonard took a risk. He has two rings, two finals MVPs. He wanted to go to LA. He wanted to go win a championship, you would think, with the Clippers. He had it made for him in Toronto, where you had Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. You had also Kyle Lowry. You had a complete team coming off a championship. And you have a damn good coach in Nick Nurse. Kawhi Leonard. Maybe he wins a championship next year. Maybe he puts this talk to rest. Right now, though, leaving the Raptors looks like a mistake. Let's go to Matt in California next up, CBS Sports Radio. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Zach. As far as long time listener, just beginning to listen to your show.
Appreciate it.
I wanted to comment on, nobody's talking about Doc Rivers, and there's a statistic that is really, as far as under the radar, Doc Rivers has coached three teams now.
Down 3-1, or up 3-1, and he blew it. Yeah.
Yeah. Two with the Clippers and one with Orlando, which he eventually got fired from his job. And nobody's talking about that. So I think as far as a lot of more emphasis needs to be put on Doc Rivers and his coaching, because, you know.
Well, he's not a great coach. He's a good coach. And we talked about that in the open, Matt, so appreciate the phone call. That team didn't capitalize this year. They didn't take advantage of the opportunity. I don't think Doc's going to get fired, though. I don't. I think he's going to be back next year, and then if they don't win, then he could be on the way out. Mike in Texas. Go ahead, Mike. You got a minute.
Man, here we are 17 years later. First it was D. Rose, then it was Damari Carroll, then it was Kevin Durant, then it was Stephen Curry, now it's Kawhi Leonard. Each year we try to replace this man, and he's not even out of the league yet, and he's not even the second best player in the world yet. Why is the world so tired of this man? Because he challenges reality. The earth is not flat. The earth is round, and King James is standing on top of the hill again. This team, this Clippers team, was anointed as the greatest team in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard was anointed the best two-way player in the game, already passing LeBron James. We had LeBron James number three behind Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I love what you just said. Where is Giannis right now? He's got his slippers on at home.
Mike, great stuff. Got to let you run. Trey Hendrickson joins us next to talk Saints.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.